Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This TNT open forum is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR service is supplied by the West Michigan privately owned repeater network. This TNT is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and to other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. The information regarding our HF operation may be found on www.southcars.com and for our digital operators on www.voip.southcars.com. Your moderator for this session is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. That is me, Mike. I'm located in Olathe, Kansas, about 23 miles southwest of Kansas City, Missouri. And you want to know what the temperature is? I don't have a clue, but I think it's in the 60s right about now. Before we start this evening's presentation, is there any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled before we proceed? I am making a recording this evening, so in case anyone misses this evening and would like to get it later, it will be available. We'll be covering tonight an interesting subject, interesting to me, I believe, and I believe to the rest of you as well. The theme is the outreach program. That's part of the SCARS group in which we present classes in tech, general and extra, and also in CW, and all kinds of things are available. And tonight, we're looking at outreaching the ham community into our greater community. In other words, how we as hams can reach into our community and be of some service. So tonight we're looking at the topic, MCOM. What? Me? Yeah, emergency communication, and I got what me here, W-A-T-T, but it could be what? W-H-A-T, me. We're going to look at what we can do as ham radio operators to serve our community. Does anybody have any comments up front they would like to make before I get started on this topic tonight? Go right ahead, please. Okay, as many of you may know, I am quite active in my local community in various community services. So I am using this basic knowledge, things that I have done and things that are going on in the community to discuss tonight. And I do want participation. So if anybody is familiar with any of these groups, hey, give me your view on it. If any of you would like to know something about these groups, ask a question. I can hopefully lead you with some more information. But the idea is that we should get involved in the community. As amateur radio operators, basically that's what the whole thing began for, was emergency communications, and we've gone into so many areas, including Echolink that we're doing this evening, so many things that are so diverse. We've got satellite tracking and whatnot out there. But tonight we're just going to look at emergency communications, what we can do as hams. And in no particular order, I started with CERT, which is Community Emergency Response Teams. Have any of you heard of these CERT teams in your community? Well, CERT teams, which is the Community Emergency Response Team programs, educate people about disaster preparedness for hazards that may impact their area and train them in basic disaster response skills, such as fire safety, light search and rescue, team organization, and disaster medical operations. Using the training learned in the classroom and during exercises, CERT teams can assist others in their neighborhood or workplace following an event when professional responders are not immediately available for help. CERT members also are encouraged to support emergency response agencies by taking a more active role in emergency preparedness projects in their community. Now, I pulled one here out of that went on in Florida recently to give you an idea what CERT people do. In a recent oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, boy, we all know about that, had many Gulf communities concerned about oil accumulating in local shores. During the weekend of April 30th, 2010, the Escambia County, Florida CERT assisted in the management of a volunteer cleanup aimed at removing debris from Pensacola and Pirodito beaches and in case any oil seeped into its shores. 18 Escambia County CERT members helped transport supplies as well as registered and managed the almost 1,000 volunteers who gathered to clear the beaches of man-made trash and debris. Clearing man-made debris from beaches before the oil arrived lessens the amount of contamination material. That's what we get from the CERT coordinator there, Mr. Sartain. During the planning phase of the fast-paced weekend, CERT volunteers helped set up a volunteer reception center for pre-registering citizens for the event. Medical Reserve Corps, which is the MRC, and CERT members were instrumental in assisting with registering of volunteers of our two local beaches, says Ms. Santain. She added that the collaboration and cooperation of CERT, along with the Be Ready Alliance Coordinator for Emergencies, United Way of Cambodia County, and Cambodia County Citizens Corps Volunteer Group, all assisted and were essential in utilizing the local volunteers. Now, as you may know, CERT uses ham radio operators for communications. They also use the family radios, you know, the little, the 1-watt radios that are available in the stores, but for overall coverage and to keep communications with other agencies, ham radio operators are very active. And that is actually the way I came into ham radio, was through CERT. It was recommended to me that I get a license that I could be very useful in that area. And what do CERT people do when there's not a disaster going on? Well, I'm going to list a few. First, we'll let it drop. Does anybody have anything they want to add? Have they had any CERT experience over the last short period of time? When there's not a disaster in place, this is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, CERT people get busy distributing and installing smoke alarms and batteries to the elderly and disabled. They assist in evacuation and traffic control. They promote community awareness of potential hazards and preparedness measures. They supplement staffing at special events such as parades, and they act as victims in training exercises. CERT is an investment of local government's time and resources to capitalize on the investment program sponsored by the CERT members as a volunteer resource that can assist with public safety activities, such as approaching with active volunteer members to serve their community beyond disaster response and add value to the CERT program. And I'll tell you, if you're interested in this program, it's usually available for your local fire department, or if you have a large church organization that's very community active, they may have a CERT. And the way to find it is simply going on the internet, going up there on Google or Bing, whichever you prefer, and just enter CERT and see what pops up, or put CERT in the name of your county or your community on there and see what pops. You may be quite surprised to find out that you have an active group not far from where you live. I'm going to move from CERT now. Does anybody have any questions about CERT before I move on to the next group? This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. The next group I'm going to look at that ham radio operators can be very involved in and get into is Saturn. Saturn is the Salvation Army Team Emergency Response Network. Now, with this, we either can use our 5-watt or 20-watt rigs, and that goes back to emergency communications. What, me? We can use our handhelds or HTs on 5 watts or on a mobile rig of 25 watts. Both ways, we can be very active with the Salvation Army Emergency Radio Network. The network is a network of volunteer amateur radio operators that provide emergency communications between Salvation Army posts and pass messages with health and welfare information beyond the Salvation Army and the general public. The group is open to amateur radio operators of all licensed classes and of any religious faith. Saturn routinely operates on BHF and HF ham bands, but may operate any mode on any amateur radio frequency during an event. You have probably seen when there's been a local fire or any kind of a local disaster when the Salvation Army canteen truck pulls up, the big white vans. When they pull up, there is usually a ham radio operator sitting there in the co-pilot seat, because that is where we go. When the canteen goes out, they go out with a ham radio operator And the new rigs we have here in Kansas City are being set up with mobile antennas. And that's what the money they're using this year, 2011, is to put in antennas so we don't have to be using our mag mounts or just using the handheld, that we'll have a more substantial communication system. So they're investing in wiring the rigs for antennas for the canteens. Now, on the canteen, the job of the ham radio operator is to communicate. Communicate what they have found in the area. Are people coming? What do they need? Do they need hot soup, coffee, blankets? What's the need in that disaster? Sometimes strictly the firemen need help, but often there is people that have been displaced, either out of their home or out of apartments or out of a business location, that need assistance. And so what the ham operator does, not only does radio communications back to the main Salvation Army Center tell them the needs that are occurring, but also can help in the canteen, serving of the various foods. And there is training for this. You don't go out there and just volunteer. There is training available. It is no charge to the Salvation Army to get a ham radio operator online and ready to work with the Salvation Army. I'm going to let it drop so we don't run over time and lose any repeaters. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. And tonight I'm doing MCOM. What, me? I'm going to give you some background here. Since the early beginnings, the Salvation Army has responded to man-made and natural disasters, providing various services to victims and relief workers alike. In the recent years, an even increasing incidence of disasters has required us to expand their ability to respond. This has taken the form of specialized equipment, stockpiling supplies, along with the formation of volunteer teams. The need to be able to communicate with our teams and equipment in the field is essential. Good communications are the key to an effective response to any disaster. The use of amateur radio by the Salvation Army will help us to render quick and effective services to those in need. For many years, we have relied solely upon groups as the ARRL to dispense personnel to us, meaning the Salvation Army, during a disaster. While this has served the Salvation Army well, they generally have a no-disaster relationship with these operators. As a result, they have had little or no knowledge of our organization, services, and capacity. So to further enhance the use of amateur radio in the disaster service, in 1988, the Salvation Army developed the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network, known as Saturn. And that's another thing you can get on the internet. Just pop in Saturn. You're going to get some things with from NASA and such in there too. So you may want to enter Salvation Army Saturn, something to identify it. Because if you have a Salvation Army in your area, they very well may have needs of ham radio operators. Now, the training is not offered that often. Matter of fact, maybe 4 or 5 times a year. And you may have to travel to a major city or a major location to take this training. And the nicest thing about the Salvation Army, when they give you training, they also give you food. They feed you really well. And that's usually part of the deal. When you take a class from them, you can't get away after the class is over. No, they want you to hang around and have a good hot lunch that they serve you. And it's good to get together with the other Salvation Army people and the other branches that are eating lunch with you. And also people in need, because those are also the soup kitchens, you see. The people that come into the Salvation Army during the day for their noon meal, and that may be their only meal of the day, you see. That's the one they serve. And you'll be right there with them, and you get a feel of what's going on. So for a ham radio operator, Saturn is a very good tie-in. Like the Red Cross, they are on the scene. Now, the Red Cross provides housing for people when there's an emergency, and the Salvation Army's task is usually to provide the food. So there you see that the two different needs are handled by two very great organizations. I'm going to let this drop here, and if anybody has any comments or anything they're aware of, if they've done anything with the Salvation Army or Red Cross, come on, let's talk about it. Come on aboard. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, and I'm doing emergency communication. What, me? Trying to get ham radio operators interested in serving their community. Now we're looking at Saturn still, which is the Salvation Army emergency. Let me get this thing right before I get it all mixed up here. I go around and around with this thing. It's the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network. It's a corps of amateur radio volunteers who have united themselves with the Disaster Services Program of the Salvation Army. While we do not exclude the use of other amateurs during a disaster, this group does provide us with the nucleus of the communication support team. This will provide us with the complete communications capacity along with the use of cellular phones, CB, GMRS, and other business band frequencies. The primary function of Saturn is to provide communications for the Salvation Army Emergency Disaster Service. This corps is a trained volunteer group that could also be called upon to assist in various functions within the total operation of our disaster team and our mission of communications. You know, we sent a team down to Haiti, what was that, last year when they had that disaster down there, and ham radio operators went along with the Salvation Army teams to provide communications there. And they set up their buddy poles and whatever else they had and communicated back here with the needs and keeping communications alive and actually making it possible for those volunteers that were down there in Haiti to communicate with their homes, because we were able to use our ham radio facility to send messages, radio messages, back to people back in the States. Now, I've got a list here of some basic things that the Salvation Army Saturn provides. They provide communication support for mobile units, and I mentioned about the canteens, and field operation sites during major emergencies. They also used when there's tornadoes touched down, and like we've had here in Greensburg, Kansas, just 2 years ago, 3 years ago. They do emergency monitoring. They coordinate the delivery of food, cots, blankets, and other material to shelters and other emergency centers. That's how we assist the Red Cross in this system. We take care of the health and welfare inquiries. We present the Salvation Army Disaster Services at Emergency Operations Command and Service Centers. We actually represent the ham community, so it's an important role that we play. And we participate in weekly radio nets for the development and continued readiness of the Saturn program. Yes, we have two nets a week. On Tuesday nights, we have the two-meter net, where we make sure that we can communicate all of the Saturn operators in the area, just do a check-in, and we get some general information from the leaders if anything needs to be done. And also, on Tuesday nights, we have an HF, which is a statewide Salvation Army net that we provide. It's something about 3.92 megahertz in that area. And that's where we keep everybody in line. I'm going to let it drop.
Did it you, Mike?
Yes, Jim, is that you?
Yes, sir. I didn't have any audio. Were you transmitting?
Yes, do you hear me now?
Oh, yes, sir, loud and clear. If I interrupted, I apologize.
Jim, you and no one else can interrupt. That's quite fine. That's quite all right. I'm just going over the emergency communications possibilities of ham radio operators and the opportunities that we have to serve our community. So we can show the community what ham operators do. We're not just, you know, we don't just sit in a cubbyhole somewhere. We actually can help the community. And the next thing I'm going to look at here is Races and Aries. Now, these two areas, the way I always remember them, Races represents a state organization, and Aries represents your local, usually county, your county organization. So I'm going to read some stuff about it. No station may transmit in Races unless it is an FCC-licensed primary, club, or military recreation station, and it is certified by the Civil Defense Organization as registered with the organization, or it is an FCC-licensed Races station. No person may be a control operator of a Races station, or may be the control operator of any amateur station transmitting in Races, unless that person holds an FCC-issued amateur operator's license and is certified by the Civil Defense Organization as enrolled in that organization. Now, how does that happen? That happens through training. And we have training through the Amateur Radio Emergency Services, which is ARES, trains us and gets us certified so that we can work on a state basis, whether it be a hurricane, tornado, or fires like they're having in Texas where this grass will just explode down there. The state organization, Races, is the communications network for the FCC. That's how we communicate. but we are trained and we are certified through the Amateur Radio Emergency Services locally. And the frequency bands and segments and emission authorized to the control operators are available to stations transmitting communications to RACES on a shared basis with the amateur service. So we have what they call confidential frequencies. Unless you would hunt up and down on the band, you probably wouldn't find us because we're trying to use bands that are very rarely used. So we're out of the way, and so no one else is hearing what we're doing because we don't want people jumping in there and causing any communication mishaps. In the event of an emergency, which necessarily involves the President War Emergency Powers under the provision of Section 706 and the Communications Act of 1934, RACES comes under that coverage. It comes under the coverage of the President's War Emergency Power. So you can see that we're right there. When the President declares an emergency, RACES still can transmit. Even though we're told to keep off the air on our other operations, we definitely will be active on a statewide arrangement. I'm going to let it drop so we don't lose any repeaters. Anybody has any comments, please come aboard about RACES or about ARIES. This is KD0CDQ. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, and I'm going to give you an example of what RACES organization does. It ties with the emergency management requirement to be compliant with their standards for volunteers. The Emergency Communication Service, which is, see, now this is something different again. This is the Emergency Communication Service in your area, and it is ham radio operators, and we get certified to do many things. There's a list here of just some of the things an emergency communication service does in your community. Normally, you're operating at 25 watts or more. That's what they wish you would have. Let's see. The Emergency Communication Service organization has taken an important step, is going beyond a traditional storm spotter role. See, I'm a storm spotter, and that's one thing we do is storm spotting. For the first time in many years, we may now be called upon to perform duties beyond spotting for the county. As an example, we have recently completed an agreement with the county health department. A health disaster of major proportions would require several public service agencies involved. An understanding of the ICS system would be required for emergency communications system people to provide adequate communications between agencies. Even as a storm spotter level, should be a disaster occur and you find yourself in the middle of the aftermath, an understanding of this protocol will be helpful. He's talking about the ICS system protocol. Finally, we may be called upon to perform other duties not pre-prescribed by a current agreement. Our local emergency management office has a district advantage in knowing that the volunteer communication arm is certified in the basic level of ICS. Now, here we have to take training, and there's training available from FEMA, no charge, on the internet. There are four basic courses, there's IC 100, 200, 700, 800, and a new one called 704. And these, the first four that I mentioned, are required that we complete these courses online and get the FEMA certification, that we understand the system, which is nationwide. This is a system that's used everywhere. Whenever there's a disaster, the ICS system comes into play, and we need to know the roles and the title of these people. It's not always the police chief or the fire chief who's in charge. It could be other people. So you need to understand the system and the titles and what they can do. And emergency radio is very much involved in this. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. I'm going to let it drop. If anything knows about Emergency Communication Service and would like to say a few words about it, please go right ahead now. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. You may wonder, you listen to the weather. I know whenever there's a hurricane, if you're near the coast or tornadoes, if you're here in the Midwest, you're always hearing the radio and television weathermen telling you about the storm spotters. They talk about certified storm spotters. They talk about trained storm spotters. They give us all kinds of titles. But what we do is, well, in the community I live in the county that I live, we have a county-wide alert system. Our telephones will ring, our home phone, our cell phones, our computer, whatever you elect, all three, it can happen on all three. where your phone will ring and they will announce that there's a disaster, or they will announce there's a storm approaching the area. We need volunteers. We need radio volunteers now. So what you do is you get on your 2 meter, you get on your, if you're mobile, you get on your mobile rig and you call in with your call sign if you're ready to be deployed. And that's the thing they want to know. How many people are ready to be deployed, and where are you located at that time? Because it's critical. I know with us, tornadoes come very quickly. It's not like a hurricane where you actually have days or hours advance notice of a storm. These tornadoes, tornadic action, can all of a sudden touch down anywhere or can be suspected anywhere. So what we as storm spotters do is we keep our cars loaded with the equipment that we need. I've got everything from lanterns and yellow rotating lights on my car, signs on the car. I've got first aid equipment. I've got the equipment that I can give you the temperature. I can give you the rainfall. I can give you the wind speed. I can give it to the weather service. And that's exactly what we do as ham radio operators. We are deployed to spotter locations. And these are coded. So the general public, we don't want the public being at these spotter locations. We don't want the public to be out there anywhere. But so we are called, like we go to Delta 7, Charlie 3. We know where these locations are. We have the master plan. And we go to these locations, and the only communication we do is first we communicate we are ready to be deployed, and the net controller takes your call sign and your location. And then they will call back to you, and they will say, like, Kilo Delta 0, Charlie Delta Quebec, are you ready to be deployed to Delta 7? And you come on the air into this, you know, you give your call sign, I am departing for Delta 7. And that's the only communication you start with. You leave your home, you get in your car, truck, and you head to these locations. And when you're at the location, then you call in again. You call, this is Kilo Delta 0, Charlie Delta Quebec, net control. And you tell them you're on site. And when you're there, then you become silent. You're not out there to hold a conversation with your buddies on the radio, or to hold a conversation with the net controller. You are there to do two things. One, to let the weather service, because the weather service is listening in, to let the weather service know if there's any emergencies or urgent calls. If an urgent call, if you as a ham radio operator see hail 1 inch or larger, usually that means you got to reach your hand outside your vehicle and try to capture one of these stones that are coming down and measure them. If you see hail the size 1 inch or larger as you're making a run for some kind of shelter to keep your vehicle out of the storm, you tell them you've seen hail. You give them the wind speed if it's over 58 miles per hour or greater. So anytime you're catching a wind or you're catching a rain amount of over 1 inch an hour flow, you would call it and you would just call it and say, net control, urgent. And you give them a Delta 7. And then that controller will come back to you and say, what's the urgent call you have? And you tell them, I've got a wind speed of 60 miles per hour out here. And that they relax. Okay, I believe the timeout is over. I believe I'm back on the air. This is Kilo Delta 0, Charlie Delta Quebec. I'm sorry that I ran over. But I wanted to give you an idea of what the storm spotters are doing out there. The main thing that we are doing is being the eyes and sometimes the ears of the weather service. We have probably all seen these big weather service scopes, these big white dishes that are sitting at the National Weather Service locations throughout the country. That dish, I could bore you with the details of that dish of how it operates because we need to know how the Weather Service does their work to get certified. But they, because of the danger of the radar that they're using affecting either humans or life, you know, livestock, they cannot run these radars close to the surface of the earth. Actually, they're up on a 1 degree angle when they leave the tower, and already up on a tall tower, as you've probably seen. So by the time they reach where I live, which is about 20 miles from the tower, they're actually shooting at 3,000 feet, 3,000 feet above the surface. They cannot see below that because they're regulated. They're not permitted to shoot a radar signal that could, because we have cattle out here, horses. That's the wildlife they're concerned about, and also there's wildlife people out there too, you know. They're worried about us, so they cannot shoot a beam any closer than 3,000 feet above the surface. So under that umbrella is the weather spotter. We're under there actually seeing conditions below where the radar cannot see. So it's not unusual for the Weather Service to contact our net controller and say, in DeSoto, Kansas, we see some activity. What do your spotters see in DeSoto? And they'll get on the call, Alpha 1, Alpha 2, Alpha 3, what are you seeing in your location? Because they know where we are. And you can say, I see nothing or whatever, but because the Weather Service, they get very suspicious when they see things on those big scopes. The television meteorologists, you know, get very excited when they see things on the screen also. And the only way they can verify what are they seeing is to ask the eyes on the ground. And that's what radio operators are doing. Ham radio operators are on the ground as volunteers for the National Weather Service. It's sometimes called Skywarn. This is Kilo Delta Zero Charlie Delta Quebec. I'm going to let it drop. If anybody has any experience or anything they've ever run into with storm spotting or with listening to weather reports on the radio or TV, if you have any questions about what they're talking about, come on right now with us, please. This is Kilo Delta Zero Charlie Delta Quebec on the TNT conference. Tonight we are covering emergency communications. What, me? Yes, you. You ham operators out there, you are already a long way into being qualified to work in your community and help them with emergency disaster preparation, help them during a disaster, and help them with the cleanup after a disaster. Actually, going on right now in the state of Missouri and Tennessee, Arkansas, where they meet together, which is called the New Madrid Fault down on the Boot Heel of Missouri, there is a threat of a possible earthquake starting from that location. If there's going to be an earthquake in the Midwest, it's probably going to come from the Madras Fault, which is on the Mississippi River. So right now there is a drill calling shakeout drill going on in Missouri and Tennessee and Arkansas and other bordering states right around there, where the Salvation Army, Red Cross, and other people are down there planning on what they would do right now if there was that fault to actually start an earthquake. And so we have some radio operators that are sent there at this time. They're down there now, going down this weekend, to work with the plan, work with this drill, and see what they can do as ham radio operators to get a feel of how the communications would operate, who are the groups that would be responding, and how would we handle this. And, of course, we are the backup. Out here in Kansas City, we are we're a good 6 hours away probably from there. So we would be the outer rim, shall we say, if there was a problem. Actually, if there would be, say, an earthquake there, or you see down in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge, they're having possible flooding again. In Kansas City, we have an agreement, you know, the state's interstate agreement with Louisiana to take 5,000, they don't want us to call them victims, they don't want us to call them clients, they have some kind of a name for them, and it escapes me right now what we call them, but we should be expecting up to 5,000 people to be bused up here or flown up here any way they can get them, and we would have to provide shelter, and that's the job of the Red Cross, to provide the shelter, and the Salvation Army to provide the food stuff, and ham radio operators to provide that communication, which would be needed to keep these facilities operational and current. So ham radio operators, we have a place. We have a place in our community. We're in great need of our services. So we trust that what happens down, because they're opening up these gates on the Mississippi River to get that flood water from going to New Orleans and to Baton Rouge, we don't expect that we'll have any people come this way, but it just could happen. It could happen at any time. And these are the things that we prepare for in the Midwest. It's tornadoes, high winds, earthquake, flooding. I'm going to let it drop so we don't flood the repeaters. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. Now, many of us may be getting up in years and we think, well, I'm too old to be chasing storms or working in canteen trucks or whatever. But hey, I'll tell you, I'm 70 years old, okay? And age doesn't matter. We can always sit on our duff inside a cab of a Salvation Army canteen. I can sit in my car, in the comfort of my car or truck, sitting watching a storm go by and enjoying the lightning flashes and the high winds and feeling the car rocking on the highway while I'm sitting still. We can do that no matter what our age is. There's at least two men in our group that carry the oxygen bottles with them. You know, they have to, anywhere they go, they've got to have the portable oxygen with them. And they're out there. And in fact, I was to an event just three weekends ago for the March of Dimes called March for Babies. And people were actually doing a walk in the city for money in Kansas City downtown. And the net control operator was a young woman that just got her technician license. And who's sitting right alongside of her but a longtime ham with his big oxygen bottle alongside him. He's the expert. She's the voice because she's got the voice and she's got the energy and stamina to keep a network, you know, to be net control, keep the whole thing together. But he's right alongside of her with his clipboard, keeping her in line and actually at times telling her what she should be saying. So there's a place for all of us. Even if you're sitting in your home during the last ice storm we had here with the hail, we were told not to leave our homes because the hail was pretty strong. They didn't want our vehicles out there. So from our homes, we were calling in with our call sign, telling what we saw, giving our location where we live. And this way they could see what was happening. Actually, I lost my roof. My roof has to be replaced, some of my siding, some of my window trim. And I'll tell you that this area has been loaded with roof damage all through this general county where I live. We went right through that storm. So, but we were in our homes and we were giving the information about the rainfall speed and the hail size. And I did have over 1 inch hail hitting my deck, which I managed to dash out there, grab one and measure it. And yes, it was over an inch. So those are stones, my friend. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. If anybody has any comments, come on aboard right now. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. Well, I have encouraged anybody to check into emergency communications that you can get some practice and have some fun doing ham radio. It all can begin with just volunteering for events, whether they be walks or runs or bicycle tours where they need volunteer radio operators. Just volunteer to go there. And I'll tell you what, you get a free T-shirt and, you know, enjoy yourself. You get out there with your radio, practice your skills. And from there, you can work yourself towards doing emergency communications at whatever depth you want to go. There's nobody forces you. It's not like you have the duty and this weekend you're on call. If you're available, you go. If you're not available, you don't go. Of course, your family always comes first. Your family conditions are the first thing to be concerned about. Which was of interest to me, going back to when I had this roof damage. We had the estimator from the insurance company out, and he checked our roof and our siding, and he wrote the check and all what needed to be done. And he got a cell phone call while he's sitting in our dining room. It's from his wife. His wife and children are in the basement of their home in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, because there's tornado twisters coming through, and you heard of what happened in Alabama. Well, this young man, who's an estimator for the insurance company, his family was in jeopardy in Alabama, in Tuscaloosa. And here he is in Kansas. I can't tell you how far away that is, but it's quite a distance. So the first thing he did, he comforted his wife on the phone, and then he put a call into his home office, and they told him, get home now. Because he's out here in Kansas doing this estimating for the damage that we had. But they told him this was nationwide insurance. They told him, get home now. So after he left our house, he just dispatched back to Alabama. I guess he drove through the night to get home. That's a scary thing when your family is in the basement and there's tornadic activity and you're in another state working, another disaster. But see, just there's the same thing with us. He knew that there were emergency people back home in Alabama that would watch after his family. And who are those people? Policemen, firemen, EMTs, emergency communications people are out there. And that's what we are, emergency communications people. Know it or not, we have the capacity. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, letting it drop. If anybody has any comments, please come back and let me know what you want. Tell me what you want to know, what you want to say about emergency communications. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec on the TNT conference doing emergency communication. What, me? I've got all kind of pamphlets in front of me I wish I could hand to you on how to set up a shelter in place, emergency preparedness, and there's a listing here in the county, and the first thing they list is amateur radio with how to contact us, how to get us involved with their organizations. And I've got a pamphlet on community emergency response teams, how to join, how to get involved. The community not only needs us, they want us to be part of the community. The police and fire cannot be everywhere. They cannot do everything, especially when there's a disaster. And when there's a thing like storms, the policemen can't be expected to be watching the cloud formation or to have the training in how to watch the cloud formation and report on it. They've got other things they need to manage. Matter of fact, this year, the local police departments have given us some of their spotter locations. Now, we weren't aware. Now, what are we as citizens? We're all citizens. We don't know. But the police department has what they call spotter locations for the police. And there were certain places that they were dispatched to when there was a storm, and they were told to go there and stay there and report what they see. Well, they didn't know what they're seeing. So finally, this year, that was turned over to ECS, Emergency Communication Service, into the ham radio group. Those spotter locations the police normally man have been turned over to us. So the police can be free of that, because there's but so much training they can have, and that's one less thing they have to be concerned about is weather service. We can handle that. We can learn about cloud formations and what to report, what we're seeing, and we can take the weight off of their shoulders. So the nearest site to my home, I didn't even know it was a police spotter site. That's the nearest one to my home is one of those police sites, and I didn't realize that they would be sitting out there. So we can supplement the community. We can do things in the community. And again, age and health has very little to do with it. It's got to do with your interest and your motivation. And it's the camaraderie. It's a good group to get to know. We have meetings once a month, Salvation Army and Saturn, the Saturn group and the Aries, Amateur Radio Emergency Services. We meet at the same time in the same place. The Salvation Army gives us a free hall every month, lets us use it, no charge. And we have our meetings and we have our training. And you get to become part of a group, and we do different kind of drills and practices. And all ham radio operators. And we keep trying to encourage each other to find new people to join the ranks of ham radio operators. You know, to tell them there's something they can do. It's not an old-time hobby. It's a new thing. Communications is not an old-time thing. It never will be an old-time thing. You always need volunteers. You need volunteers ready, willing, and yes, able. Ham radio operators are that. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, letting it drop. Anybody has any comments they'd wish to make, come on with it right now. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec. To give you an idea of being dedicated to serving other people, tonight my wife left at about close to 7 o'clock, which is 8 o'clock your time. We are members of a book club. Through our church we read, and we have a book club. We meet once a month. Well, don't you know, they've chosen the third Thursday of the month to be the night for the book club to meet. The main thing I miss is desserts, because the women make some fine food. I mean, sometimes it's a dinner, sometimes just dessert. But this is more important to me, and I feel a vital thing to do is to be on the air tonight with this emergency communication, Want Me presentation. If even one person gets an idea to work in their community to do something, it's well worth my just missing a good dessert. Who knows? My wife might bring me something back if she's in a good mood. But there are priorities in our life. Yes, family and friends come first. But the most important thing to me is serving the community. And we serve the community by being good citizens sometimes. We serve the community by being good husbands and good fathers and good grandfathers. That's serving the community too. Don't overlook that. That's vital in any community. But we can also add the dimension of ham radio operator. So don't run away from the idea. Give it a try. Check, and the best way is through the internet, because there's so much available there. Or talk it up in your clubs. Could be somebody in your club is already active in these services. There are many things we can do with our radio communication, and that is why I am in ham radio primarily. I'm not what we called in the Navy a twidget, somebody that's into electronics. I'm somebody that's more into what we're doing here tonight, communicating with a purpose. And my purpose tonight is emergency preparedness. and trying to get interest aroused a little bit in the ham community. Okay, does anybody have anything they'd like to add? Please, please come aboard. Radio and food. Yeah, ham radio and food. They go together. Ice cream in a cone. Anybody have any comments? This is Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, letting it drop. This is KD0CDQ. I have recorded this program, hopefully in my system, so if anybody needs a copy, hope somebody else has been recording it. You can maybe turn off your recorders now or keep them going a little bit longer. It's up to you. I don't have any other information to share. Just to let you know, the community, whether they know it or not, they need us. And you know something? We need them. You get a feeling of accomplishment when you do something for your community. It's your own gratification. You got your radio gear. It's nice to be able to use it in the area. And it's nice that people know you are the ham radio operator. That doesn't mean that every time the TV set goes kaflooey or their AM radio makes noise, they're going to, it's him again on the radio. I have more trouble with our microwave oven than anything else. It really affects my AM reception on my radio, but not on my ham radios. They're not affected by the microwave, but my radio sure, or AM radio in the house. So our basic things, like our microwave radios, our microwave ovens, are more of a hazard in the community, to communications, than our antennas and our systems that we are working. We are nowhere near the hazard to the community. So if anybody has anything they want to talk about tonight, I wish you would. Now, next week, I believe, let me see. Next week's program will be coming out of Canada, as you know. I am going to check my emails and see what I know about next week. I'm looking at SCARS, TNT, opening it up, and here it is from Pete in Montreal on the 26th, TNT, May 26th. That would be next Thursday. Let's see what I can tell you about. What they will be doing is they'll have some interviewing questions. It's going to be kind of a rag chew. Next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern will be interview questions and topics. They're going to have general topics like how did you get into ham radio, you know, who is your Elmer, talking about passing the tests. They're going to have questions about photography. Are you involved in photography? We're going to talk about some photography work. I know very well that... Yeah, Pete's into photography, so he'll be a good source. We're going to talk about your shack. What's in your ham shack? What projects are you working on? Were you a CB operator in the past? Things like that. And talk about the community, local clubs, presentations, and things of that nature, and miscellaneous. So it'll kind of be a rag shoe next Thursday night at this same time. So if anybody's interested, we will be here. We'll be here on the TNT conference on the SCARS Network. We're on 96140 on Echolink and 96140 on IRLP.